John chapter 15. Before we get started, I just want to say that God is good. God is merciful. And he's long-suffering. And these past few weeks have been difficult but for me individually. But all I can say is it's only by the grace of God that I have survived them and that he's been so good to me. And he's heard my cries of despair and discouragement, and he's been there. I've claimed so many verses these past few weeks. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And each and every one of these promises I claimed, as difficult as it became. But God is good. He's there. He's merciful. He loves us because we're his children. This morning I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 15. We're going to look at the first five verses. We'll begin reading. Jesus is speaking, and he says this morning, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says, For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's the title of this morning's message, You Can Do Nothing. Let's bow our heads before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you give us whatever we need to hear from your words. Bless us, encourage us, lift us up through thy word. Clean us through thy word. Amen. Just show us what we need today from thy word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can do nothing, he says. For without me, you can do nothing. And I'll tell you, I thought about that, and so true, especially the last few weeks of what I've been through. That key verse that we want to look at, of course, is in verse 5. Jesus says, for without me, you can do nothing. And of course, he begins and says, I am the vine, and he's talking about Christians. We are the branches that tie into the vine, that belong to the vine. And then he talks about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. That's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning, is bearing fruit. There are some prerequisites, some conditions before anyone can bear real fruit, okay? I'm not talking about fruit. I'm talking about to be able to bear some real fruit. The first prerequisite is that we must be saved. The person must be saved, must be born again, must be one of the branches attached to the vine. The vine, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, he says, you and I must abide or dwell in him, and he must abide or dwell in us. Well, how can that be possible? How can Jesus Christ abide or dwell in us, and how can we abide or dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's one of the mysteries of the Bible, but we know that it's true. And this is accomplished the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God comes into that individual, seals that individual, indwells or abides in that individual until the day of redemption. I can't really explain it, but that's what the Word of God says. So as Christians this morning, Christ is abiding in us and we are abiding in Him. This is one of the prerequisites to be able to bear fruit. So the first prerequisite to bear fruit is a person needs to be saved, must be born again. The second prerequisite to bear real fruit is you can't bear real fruit by yourself or in your flesh. See, Christ has to do the work. Christ has to do the work. Christ is the one that does the fruit bearing, not you or not, you and I, okay? We do not bear the real fruit. It's Christ that does the work. Christ that bears the fruit through you and I. He said, remember he said, for without me you can do nothing. And he's referring there, amen. I mean, I believe literally anything. But in this particular context, I believe it's fruit bearing. Amen. Fruit bearing. See, the more your life and my life is yielded over to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more fruit that He will be able to bear through you and I. Now, Christ was able to bear much fruit through the life of the Apostle Paul. And the reason that he was able to do that, it's not because Paul was well-educated. Not because Paul was a well-educated person, and we know that he was. You know, Paul testifies of his background. I believe it is in the book of Philippians, if we can find it there. Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us, you know, his credentials, his background a little bit here. In Philippians chapter 3, you know, he talks about, because there were people running around who said that you had to be circumcised to be saved in Paul's day, and of course that's not true. And what Paul is saying is, if anyone had to have confidence in the flesh, it was him. And he goes on and he talks about how he was, in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. And he tells us all those things. But those things in themselves, God could not use, okay? Christ was not able to bear the fruit in Paul's life because he was well-educated, which he was. He had a wonderful family and religious background. He had all of these things. But it wasn't because of these things that Christ was able to bear much fruit through Paul's life. The reason that Christ was able to bear much fruit through the Apostle Paul's life is because the Apostle Paul was totally yielded to Christ. Listen to what Paul said. Notice what he said with me in Galatians chapter 2, if you turn there. Notice what Paul said with me. In Galatians chapter 2, we have an idea of why Christ was able to bear much fruit through the Apostle Paul's life. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 with me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The key is what he said is, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, he allowed Christ. Paul was yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. He allowed Christ to live through him. And what were the results? Some great results. Christ, through the Apostle Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. All of the books of the Bible from in the New Testament, from Romans all the way up to the book of Hebrews, Paul penned those through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Paul, because he was so yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote most of the New Testament. In fact, the bulk of the instructions for you and I, how to live as Christians, okay, in this church age, this age of grace, the bulk of our instructions on how we are to live as Christians today is found within Paul's writings, the Pauline epistles. Again, because this man was yielded to Christ, he was able to bear much fruit. We also see more fruit. Christ, through the Apostle Paul, was able to establish many New Testament churches throughout the known world at the time. Many people were saved through Paul's preaching. Why? Again, he was able to bear much fruit because he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what you and I need to do if we are to bear real fruit for the Lord. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us. But we put up so many barriers and so many obstacles that keep him from allow him from doing that. No wonder the Apostle Paul beseeched you and I over in the book of Romans. He says this in Romans chapter 12. You know, Paul wasn't I don't believe Paul was egotistical. Amen. I think he wanted as much for you as that he wanted God to work through us as much as God worked through him, because he says to you and I in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you. That's a begging or a pleading. You know, it's a strong word, beseech. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes. Well, he's begging us. He's pleading us. Beseech, you know, in other words, he's not just telling us. He's putting an emphasis on it. He says, do this, brother. Do this, sister. I beseech you, I plead with you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reason service, so that, you know, Christ can bear fruit through us if we give ourselves over to him, like Paul was yielded over to Christ. You know, we have to be very careful about the fruit we are bearing as Christians, because a lot of it is artificial. A lot of it is artificial. It's artificial because it was done in our flesh without Christ. See? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, there are many a ministry out there today that has been built in the flesh. And the Bible tells us that the arm of flesh will fail you. You know, there's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to be disappointed when they hit the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ is talked about over there in 1 Corinthians. If you turn with me, chapter 3, I'll just read it quickly. There's going to be a lot of disappointed Christians. There's going to be a lot of surprised Christians up there someday when they hit that judgment seat of Christ. And of course, we know that that judgment seat of Christ is only for Christians to see what rewards they get or what rewards that they won't get. They've lost. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read and begin reading in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the rock, he's the foundation on which you and I are to build. Now he says, verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." So he's broken down two groups of building materials. Gold, silver, precious stones, which things that will last, amen. Wood, hay, and stubble, things that do not last, amen. And then he says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." In other words, will be revealed. Everything that we've done will be revealed today. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You know, what was the motivation behind what you did? "And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." In other words, if you've built upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, you're going to get a reward. He says, "But if any man's work shall be burned," that's, in other words, if you've been building with the wood, hay, and stubble, "if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." In other words, you'll lose your rewards, but you're going to be saved. You're still going to heaven. But, see, there's going to be a lot of Christians, because right now they think they're building with gold, silver, and precious stones. But in actuality, their fruit, they're building with wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be very, very disappointed. The reason being, again, Christ was not involved with the thing at all that they were doing. In other words, they went around and they did this and they did that all in the flesh. Didn't seek God's counsel. You know, weren't really led of the Holy Spirit of God to do any of this. You know, really did it all in the flesh. And we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You know, and maybe the reason the way I'm feeling right now is I tried to do a lot of things in the flesh. And if you do things in the flesh, you're not going to be able to make it, amen. You got to let Christ work through you. Because he said there, did he not? If we went and we go and we serve him and we turn it over to him and we work for him, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.
Our nature, our flesh nature is with the many fictional things of our period of time now is we get caught up in our families, our country, our state, our friends, our job, because we have, you know, bosses and owners of companies, right, that these things get caught up in them so easily, right? And the moments of those of us who take Christ very seriously, we get these moments where we realize, right, what have we bought into? And the thing that a lot of times in our hearts we realize, how do we get out? How do we get away from these worldly things that seem to draw us in? Our flesh is so weak, right?
That's right.
We seem to be easily Monday morning comes, or I say Tuesday, it's because of events. We're so easily drawn in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's a month and years ago, and all of a sudden we find ourselves gravely ill. Everything seems to be, there ain't a right thing. Every direction you look, everything is wrong, right?
Mm.
And all of a sudden, under your gills, you feel gray and weak, right?
Mm.
And sick. And all of a sudden, you come to your senses and you realize, right, that you've been drawn in, and now you feel ill and the defeat that you're well into, right?
Mm.
And you've got a case of reality, right? And we're lucky because we're still alive, right?
Mm.
And because we're in church, right, we can look to try to serve. And you know my fear is like I had a, because of the holiday, right?
Yeah.
And as we mingle with this world, right, and how in an instant, a friend of mine came over last night, and he has the capacity to draw to make other considerations other than he offers me the world, and the world frightens me because my dilemma is knowing that I'd be caught up in these events, right? And all of a sudden I'm finding that I'm putting the barriers up, which you stated about.
Mm-hmm.
Barriers between Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, right? And I gravely fear it, okay? And here I am with a family, right? And all my problems and failures, right? And here I am, my friend comes to me last night, drives my driveway, and he said, all the position, money, politics, power, right? And he's desperately trying to help me, right? And here I am, putting him off, right? Knowing that I'm trapped, and the more I struggle, right, to free myself, right, I get in deeper, okay? And I come to the level where you've been venturing these last 2 weeks, right?
Mm.
And I'm chuckling, right, as I go, not in your best day that I want to pursue, because he's going to draw me into business, some real estate.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm really enjoying, I enjoy more that the church, mm-hmm. and all the things that I've been shown, right,
mm-hmm.
because every time we make bad choices, right? We put up these, we make a choice, and then we put something in the way of Christ, right?
Amen. Good points. Let me finish on here. As I was saying, that, you know, going to be a lot of disappointed Christians when they get up there, because what they've done, Christ hasn't been involved, number one. And everything really was done in the flesh for the glory of man and not for the glory of God. Then how can one judge his Christian life as far as whether Christ is bearing fruit in his life? Well, you know, some people may say, well, it's how many souls that person has led to Jesus Christ, or how big an offering they gave, or how many committees they are on, or how big their church is. But it's really none of any of that. The way you can tell is your life characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit? Found in Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians 6 with me. Because if Christ is really living through you, okay, working through you, you're allowing him to have the preeminence in your life and everything. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit will be prevalent in your life, if that's the case. It begins with in Galatians chapter 6, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. We're not talking about romantic love or Hollywood love. We're talking about love that helps us to love our enemy. Divine love. Amen. That kind of love. See, only that can be produced by the Holy Spirit of God, by Christ living in you. Amen. By allowing Him to work through you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, love. Having compassion upon a lost sinner, no matter how nasty he gets, or no matter how many gospel tracts that person rips up in your face, you still have a compassion, you still have a love for that person's soul. See, that's fruit that's produced by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, amen. They're all one and the same. We're told that the fullness of the Godhead indwells you and I. So don't be wondering comparing how big a church is or how many souls that someone's won or how many committees that person is on. Do you have that love there? Then look at joy. Amen. Not worldly joy. Amen. Only the joy that Christ can give. Only the joy that can rejoice over a brother and sister doing well, God blessing them, or a joy over someone getting saved. You know, when someone gets saved, you have that joy. Fruits of the Spirit, produced by the Holy Spirit, are prevalent in your life if you allow Christ to live through you. There's peace. There's nine of them. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. If Christ is really living through us, then we're bearing faith, fruit, faith. We have faith no matter what our circumstances may be. Faith. Trust in God, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, self-control, you know, moderation. These are the things that you want to see. You want to check yourself out. These are the things that should be operative in your life, prevalent in your life if you're allowing Christ to live through you. Because these are the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. You know, I know that someone will say, well, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Amen. I believe you're going to lead people to Christ if you're producing these fruits. There's no way you can't. We don't need programs. Amen. To lead people to Christ. We don't need programs. You know, we're gonna do this for so many weeks, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that. The fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, the whole thing is you've got to let Him do it through you and I. You know, is John the Baptist made it so clear when he said about Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what Christ has to increase in our lives and our living through us, and we need to decrease. We need to empty ourself of self and allow Him to work through us. See, what you and I need to get to the point to realize is that you and I are only vessels, okay? Like this cup, that's a vessel. And within our vessels, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us. And we're vessels, you and I, because we're saved, we're God's vessels. He wants to work through these vessels of ours. That's what he wants to do. But if you and I try to do anything in the flesh for the Lord, then we're going to fail miserably. Or maybe in the world's eyes, or in the so-called fundamental Christian's eyes, we are successful, but in Christ's eyes, we're going to be failures. You know, I think of that poor widow who put in her two mites, all that she had. You know, she's successful. Amen. You know, she didn't have 3,000, you know, in Sunday school. Amen. She probably didn't bring belong to a big congregation where they were, you know, running school buses and they had 3,000 kids in Sunday school and what have you. We've got to be very careful on what impresses us. You know, again, go back to the fruit of the spirits. Is that what we see in that person's life? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what we need to look at in our own lives. I believe, if the fruit of the Spirit is it exhibited in our lives that we just looked at quickly, then Christ is truly living through us. And if that's happening, the rest, I believe, will fall into place. Because, see, he doesn't expect us to do anything. He does all the work. Amen. We just have to be willing to do what he wants us to do. You know, when some men misread God and they think this is what God wants them to do when it's not. Oh, they may have a tremendous ministry and they may be on the, you know, the periodicals that I get through, you know, that come to the church and big name and a big conference here and this one's going to be here and there's going to be thousands and oh, it's going to be the greatest thing that you ever saw. Oh, boy, does that make me sick. The important thing, if we come away this morning with any one thing we have to remember, you know, if we can focus on this one thing, we have to remember, just as it was true of our salvation without Christ, we can do nothing. If you take that away this morning, meditate on it. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. That's what he said. I am the vine. Back there in John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, my dear friend, you and I can do absolutely nothing. I pray that you and I will remember that. each and every day that we walk this Christian life before he takes us home. Without Christ, ye can do nothing. Let's stand forward a prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this morning's message. We thank you for that true vine in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for us that are belong to him, that are the branches. And Father, we pray that we can bear much fruit, but we know that we can't if only we allow Jesus to truly live through us. Father, help us to remember that thought this morning and meditate on that as we leave today, that without Christ, each of us here can do absolutely nothing. Father, as we close and we sing our song of invitation, Father, maybe you've laid something on somebody's heart that they need to pray about. Father, we just pray that they'd come to the altar right now as we sing our final song of invitation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's turn to